It's been a while since I've been on the dating scene. And honestly, when I look back at my early 20s, I am traumatized. But dating fascinates me. In my job as a strategist, I need to know a lot about culture. And I read a lot about how tech has reshaped modern dating. Online, there's endless talk about women's expectations are too high or they want too much. But when I speak to my friends, that doesn't add up at all. Most of them are really open to meeting someone. It just feels like the people that they meet actually aren't ready. So I asked my gorgeous, leggy, successful friend Louise, aka Leggy Sue, aka Long Tall Sally, to come on and talk about dating in your 30s. At 21, we had a really clear but unspoken timeline of what we thought our life would be and how it would unfold. Now in our 30s, those timelines kind of feel ridiculous. We talk about how dating has shifted from meeting people naturally to curating profiles and how it really feels to experience this. We unpack the weirdness of doing everything right, career, home, friendships, yet still being asked constantly, so are you seeing anyone? And Louise is honest, hilarious, and refreshingly real. Whether you're dating, whether you're in a relationship, or just fascinated by how it's all changing, you'll love this one. Let's get into it. If life feels like a whirlwind of clarity and confusion, pull up a chair. Welcome to The Weird Years.
Oh, welcome to the podcast, Louise.
Thank you.
Excited.
My big moment.
Your big moment. How was the weekend? Any goss? Any news?
No goss, but I'm a bit hungover. Had a big gym social yesterday.
Cute.
Got in at 2 a.m.
Wow.
And here I am doing this with you. So,
well, that's not quite as impressive as my 6 a.m. on Friday, but I'll let you slip.
Fair enough.
So you know what you're here to talk about, Lou? It's time to get into the weird years.
God.
We're going to drag it all up.
Yeah.
We're going to go deep.
I'm nervous. I've got a tissue. Just in case.
She's got her emotional support tissue. She's also got a little bowl of emotional support grapes if needed. So
we like to take care of hunger.
People. We want to take care of people. Yeah, tell me about your story. Where are you at in your 30s right now?
Yeah, big question. I feel like 30s is always it's like the time that everyone thinks you're meant to have your shit together. Yeah. You're meant to have everything in place. And that's always been, I guess, my mindset of being 30, but I am 33 and I don't have any of my shit together. Getting in at 2 a.m. is not having your shit together. So, yeah.
I feel like that's a little bit harsh on yourself, though, because when you say like having your shit together, obviously there's so many, like, I think especially being a woman in our generation, it's like we're supposed to have this perfect career and this perfect lifestyle and family and look like a supermodel, but still be like grounded and awesome, which of course you do. So tick, tick, tick on those. But you, when you say you haven't got your shit together, you have so much stuff that you do have together. Homeowner.
Yeah.
Career lady.
Yeah.
PT trainer.
Yeah. I've not done anything with that, but I do have the qualification.
Can we just dig into the fact that everyone is becoming either a yoga teacher or a PT trainer?
Yeah. I do think that was a bit of a lockdown. Bored of my job, what else can I do? And did the qualification and then did nothing with it.
Is it low-key, like a midlife crisis, doing a yoga teacher training or PT training?
For me, like, I liked fitness, so I was like, how can I bring more of that into my life?
Yeah.
And doing the qualification, I was going to then go and teach a few sessions on the side.
How's that working for you?
Yeah, I don't.
How's that played out at the moment?
I don't. So actually, I also think it was semi-post-lockdown and I was in what I would call the Great Depression of 2020. When, again, don't feel like your shit's together and you kind of want to have a bit of control. And then actually found my CrossFit gym, which gave me like the social side of it, gave me the fitness side of it. And like you build towards things, so you always feel like slightly rewarded from it.
Yeah.
So actually like that did help with my own Great Depression.
When you say you feel like you haven't got your shit together, like what are you putting on yourself?
I think there's a few things. I think like I have always been, and you'll know this from our first real life job, very ambitious and wanted to be in a certain place in my career by a certain time. And I actually think I've got to the point where I've stopped being as ambitious, not necessarily a bad thing, but I feel like I'm kind of coasting a little bit and maybe don't have the direction that I used to when I was younger in my career.
Yeah.
And then there's also like the big elephant in the room, the fact that I'm single at 33. And, you know, we were talking about this the other day of one of my friends is literally getting induced at the moment about to have a baby. And again, I'm out till 2 a.m. and it's like the massive contrast of where I am at 33 compared to where I thought I was going to be is quite big.
Where did you think you were going to be?
I thought I'd be married with a couple of babies.
Isn't that so wild to think though? Because I literally used to think this, like when I had my university boyfriend, RIP, he didn't die. Just to be one, he actually didn't die.
He's still here.
But like that relationship is obviously long, long
That dead. Relationship died.
That relationship died. But I genuinely, at 22, I was like, I want to be married at 26. I don't know where I got these from in my head, especially as like my... You know, my mum got married young, but like they didn't have kids for quite a long time, my parents. But like in my head, I was like married at 26, baby at 28. Isn't that outrageous?
All of mine was 30. I vividly remember walking down my road with my mum once and saying, I'm going to have big boobs and I'm going to marry you. I'm going to marry rich. And I don't have
Sorry,
the first.
How old were you?
I think I was like 7.
Wow.
I didn't get the first. So I'm still holding out for the second. And now I'm like, they actually don't even need to be rich. They just... It just needs to be a nice man.
They just need to exist. Well, to be fair, the first one you can buy, so
true.
That is not a problem if you ever get the big boobs.
In the words of Cher, I am a rich man.
Mum, I am a rich man. Exactly. That is very true. It's funny because I actually used to wear, I still have that like on a necklace, Mum is a rich man. So I was like, really? I live by that quote.
Yeah.
And then.
You really do.
And I think it's a good way to live. But also, you're allowed to marry a rich man.
Yeah.
You can do both if you want to. You thought you were like 30 is going to be the time.
Yeah.
So like what? Happened in these
God I don't know if I knew that I wouldn't be I don't know. I think 20 odd years ago when I was thinking that, the time sets on things are different, so I don't feel 33 like mentally I'm still 27 and I'm still wanting to go out and, you know, do all these things. But then actually there is a side of me that just loves being cozy and wants to be a bit of a homemaker, even though I can't cook. So I think I'm like quite divided because I don't feel like I thought I would feel at 30. Like it doesn't feel, on one hand, it doesn't feel old, but then I think the pressures make you feel like it's older than I feel.
Yeah. And also when people, sometimes I'll be chatting to someone and they'll be like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm 25. And then I'll be like, oh, I'm 32. And they'll be like, oh.
Yeah.
And it's like, what did you expect 32 to be like? Yeah. Like it's almost, I mean, it was growing up with the times of like Bridget Jones. Like how old was Bridget Jones? She was like 30 or something,
I think,
right?
So, yeah.
And she like had this mega dream career as a journalist and like owned a one bed loft or something in West London. It's like she was absolutely slaying, winning at life.
Yeah.
And we were all told to believe like she's just a big fat loser. Also, she was like a size 12 or something, like outrageous. So it's like you build up all these things and then you get to that age and you're like, Am I supposed to feel a certain way?
Yeah.
Like, am I supposed to feel ready for any of this stuff?
And there's also like a big, like 30 is a big moment. It's when you have a big, it's like 18. Mm. 18, there's a set expectation, but it's more about having fun, going out drinking, whatever. Maybe starting to know what path you're going down. Whereas 30, it's like, now you have everything together. And like, why are they those milestones? And then, you know, hopefully we're going to live for another like 40, 50 years. Mm. And there isn't really another big milestone in the same way, maybe 50.
Yeah.
But there's no expectations at 50.
That's really true. And it also feels really unfair because loads of my guy friends, and actually as you were saying that you'd chatted to someone on a dating app and he had like 30 and like not looking for anything serious.
Yeah.
And it's also that like challenge of, on one side, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but I think a lot of the people my friends are saying they're dating, they're not necessarily like looking to settle down. But then as women, like we can't ignore that thing of a biological clock.
Yeah.
And like if you want to have kids with someone, you want to be dating them maybe for at least a little bit of time. Like let's
2 weeks.
Let's vet that they're not like actual psychopaths.
Yeah.
Let's vet that they're normal people before you have kids with them. We've obviously got that like unspoken little tick.
Yeah.
Tick.
And I would love to have kids. Like I've always wanted kids. But like there gets to a certain point where that becomes stuff. And I know people that have done it by themselves.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't. Even the thought of like getting a dog, I'm like, can't do that by myself. And it's like, I think one is money, it's like expensive, but two is just a lot of care.
Yeah.
And I look at my sister and her husband with my niece and they just work together so well. And he was lucky in his paternity, he even had 3 months off.
Mm.
And it was just like, if my sister needed 10 minutes in the morning, he would take my niece and my sister could either go back to bed or, you know, even just like shower.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you shower if you've got a baby and you can't leave them? So it's
possible.
It's I like, for me that would be too overwhelming and I wouldn't be able to do it by myself.
Mm.
But then as you get older, that thought of having it is slipping away.
Yeah.
So
I guess it's a difficult place because you always, it's interesting you said you always wanted to have kids because I didn't think I really knew this about you until like quite recently. I feel like you kept it on the down low a little.
But I don't think I've told people because I am eternally single. Mm. So I think it's one of those things where you just don't, you know, it's like a, like, I guess not like a sore spot, but you don't want to talk about it because there's not the opportunity to do it. So,
yeah,
you know, and I think I was so career focused, like for most of my life, that that was like my main focus and priority. And then everyone started settling down and I was like, oh, I've missed doing that.
Do you feel like now you like you put too much focus on your career, or are you like, because obviously that, having your career is what has allowed you to like have your flat and now you obviously earn more money and you've got a good lifestyle.
Yeah.
But do you feel like, is that a little bit of a sore spot when you look back on it?
Not really. Cause like it wasn't like I wasn't going out and dating and doing all of these things, but I think I just didn't put the same emphasis on like finding someone.
Yeah.
And I also, actually, this is a big thing that I found in my 30s in compared to like 25 is I was worried what other people thought. And I think at that age, if I was dating someone and like someone had an opinion of, I don't know, their hair, I'd be like, oh, actually, that's such an ick.
Yeah.
Whereas now I'd be like, you know, I showed you a picture of like a person I went on a date with earlier this week and you like had a comment about their profile.
Yeah, but I'm rude. So
but that doesn't, but that doesn't affect me like anymore. And even I think that's one of the big things of being 30 is like, I don't really care about other people's opinion as much. I'm less of a people pleaser. Even to the point, and I was thinking this earlier, of going out last night and I'm probably nearly 6 foot and I was out in like 2.5 inch heels. Mm-hmm. I would never have done that at 25. I was ballet pumps till I die.
You really were. I remember this distinctly because as a fellow sticking girl, I was always like, get the heels on.
Yeah. So I think like there's an element of like self-confidence that comes with like getting older. I think you just don't care.
How does that play out in your dating though? Because I'm wondering like the way that people paint it in the media is like women are really, really picky. Mm. That's what like the narrative is though, don't you think? It's like, oh, well, this is why these career women, like they can't find men because they just hold to such high standards.
Yeah.
And I think that's like, personally, it doesn't feel true on the ground. Like, what do you think?
I think kind of rings true, but I think that's because of apps. Like I can go on an app and like, I'm not going to talk about he who should not be named, but like I would never have swiped right to him on an app because he was 5'8".
Yeah.
And we met in real life and like different story. So I think it gives you the chance to be pickier.
Yeah.
So I do think there's that. But then I think like going on a date now, I know who I am more. And if you don't like me, you don't like me. And that is just what it is.
Yeah.
And I think I'm much more confident in just being myself straight away. Which is better, I think.
Are you therefore more patient, do you think, with other people? Like, are you opening the net wider and being like, no, I'm going to give this person a chance? Or are you more like, I know what I want, I don't want you?
Yeah, I'm more the second option. Or okay. I just know, and I think I am quite a good judge of character now of like seeing people on apps and I'm like, either you're a vibe or you're not. And I kind of know. So I'm a bit more cutthroat. But also, I just don't date that much.
Do you feel like there might be a bit of a challenge here in that you want to find someone, but you don't want to date?
I'm just waiting for them to rock up at my little flat.
Knock on the door.
Yeah, and there they are.
With a bottle of rosé.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I love that wishful thinking for you.
Yeah.
Because whereas I guess we both have friends who do the opposite, and I see this is like a lot of people go, well, look, it hasn't happened for me. I'm going to take a break, work on myself.
Yeah.
Become a PT trainer. Yeah. Like, just level up in every single way. Or you get the people who tend to like, they make it a career.
Yeah. And I know people that have done that, but again, they haven't had like loads of success from it. There's like a couple of people who have started dating, but like I know someone who did the opposite of me and they are now dating someone, but they went on like 2-3 dates a week for a couple of months and then they go off the apps completely and do that again.
Yeah.
Whereas again, this is a nice thing of being 30. I am very content with the stuff that I do in my day to day. Like I know what my little routine is and I like doing it. So you've got to be someone that either I click with or I want to hang out with for me to disrupt that.
So what's the problem? Like, what do you think the problem is with these guys that you're meeting?
I'm just not meeting them. That's the problem. I don't know. I think there's just too much choice for guys out there. So they just, you know, they, and actually I've got a friend who's like recently single and she's on the apps and she's stunning and she's really lovely and she'll just go on these apps and she'll match with people and she'll make an effort to talk to them first because she's like newly back on the apps and actually has like will to do it. But they just won't reply or they'll cancel. She was meant to go on a date with someone on Friday and they just cancelled. And then that is quite disheartening when that happens.
Yeah.
Which is why I just don't talk to them.
Yeah, that's fair. It's maybe not a solution to where you want to be. But
yeah,
you have to do what you have to do to protect your little heart as well. Because putting yourself out there all the time is exhausting, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think it is difficult when you've had experiences where you like think you've met someone that's like going to be your person and then they're not, and it's like, well, actually you kind of know what you do want and you don't want from dating people like that.
Yeah,
but then it makes it harder, I think, to like go back out there.
That's true. I also kind of have a theory. I've always said that the next person I date has always been better than the last one.
Well, you can't do that. For me is not going to be hard, is it?
Yeah, true. But I think that's a real true thing, is like everyone you date, it's like they teach you something and then the one you meet after is really good.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes just like knowing, I guess, either when to stop, but also like having that conviction of like, okay, now I know what I want, I can keep like finding the next good thing.
Yeah, but I also think, like going back to your question about whether women are picky, I think I was pickier and now I'm more open to different people.
Yeah.
So I guess that's a good thing.
It feels like the stories don't always line up though with what we're hearing, because on one side we're like, oh, there's this massive male loneliness crisis apparently, but then you meet lots of people who aren't like actually willing to settle down.
Yeah. I actually think men approach dating very differently, and I think they do go out and date lots of people and they like get joy from that. And whether that's like a bit of an ego thing or whether they actually just are lonely, so they go out and do that more. Whereas I think my experience of like girls doing it is it's much more of a conscious choice of, I think I'm going to like you, so I'm going to go on this date with you. And so where I like people I've dated in the past have gone on like, again, 3 or 4 dates a week, and I've just like consciously gone on maybe like 1 a month because I'm you're the person I want to date. And I filtered you out through everybody else. Whereas I think they'll filter them out in person, I'll filter them out on the app. And I think a lot of girls do that.
Interesting. Although kind of tricky to what you were saying before, because you're like, he shall not be named. You would never have matched on an app.
No. Although so I did see his profile when he's now in a relationship, but like when he was single and I was like, this is fit. But I think that's because I know who he is.
Yeah.
So
maybe the guys are kind of doing it right in a way.
Yeah.
Filtering out people in person.
It's just a lot. Like, to go out on a weeknight, have a couple of drinks. Like, you know, I went on a date on Thursday and I was hungover Friday. And it's just, you know, I don't like doing that.
It is a full-time effort if you do that. So where you are now, because obviously I wanted you to come on and talk about dating. And I realised when I said this, you kind of went to me, anyone who's in a relationship, all they ask me about is dating.
Yeah. Well, I looked at like some of the things you were asking people to come on and talk about. And I think one of them you described as like this big girl boss. And like someone else had a really like good adjective to describe them. And it was like, mine was dating in your 30s. And I was like, there's like at the beginning of this, you said, you've got so much going for you. You've got like, you know, you've had cool jobs, done this PT thing, like really into the gym, all of this stuff. And my thing, my USP was that I'm single. And like, why is that the thing everyone asks? And like, why is that my, you know, if you go for dinner with someone in a relationship, like, have you been on any dates recently? It's not like, how's work or, you know, how's whatever else I'm doing. Why is that my hobby?
Yeah.
Why is that what makes me interesting? Because I think that's like the most boring thing.
I feel like in some way it's bifold of like, partly we love to live vicariously through single people, because once you're like in a relationship and it's also stable, like it's not, obviously you don't have the excitement of like these new stories. So I think often like people in relationships like, oh, I just need like a juicy feed of gossip and I want my single friend to give it to me. But then also obviously the dating thing's so hard, because when you have a friend and you know they want something, you want to support them like in every way that you can. Like if you were saying, oh, I really want to go for a promotion or whatever, I'd be like, okay, how can I help on that? Or you're trying to get a new job, I'd be like, what people do I know in my network? Yeah. And it's like, we all become these these kind of low-key matchmakers yeah. that were like going through our Rolodex of like people in single? Our phone, like Dave.
Who can I pass Louise off with?
Dave Inferno. It's like, who's that? Can he be? Like, yeah.
I probably snogged him.
Probably. So it's like, yeah, it's tricky because you always want to help your friend, but it's also like, I can see that I'm definitely part of the problem because every time I see my single friends, I'm like, what's happened?
Yeah. And I think it's one of those things that maybe not with you because I love Chris, but it's if I'm meeting someone else for like lunch or a coffee, asking about their partner is probably like third or fourth on the list of things I'm going to ask them about. And I'm going to ask how they are and how work is or how like their family is, if I know their family, and then it's partner.
Yeah.
Whereas if someone's coming for coffee with me, it's like, got any good goss? Like, who have you been dating?
Yeah.
And I know people are interested in it, but it is... especially if you are having a tough time with dating and like, you know, timelines are ticking, my mood on it can really shift. And if someone asks me when I've had a weekend where I haven't really seen anybody and, you know, maybe I spent time with my niece and then they're like, oh, how's your dating? Then it's actually like quite upsetting because you're just like, well, there's no dating.
Yeah.
So that's I think when it becomes like an insensitive question. It's like you wouldn't ask someone who was trying for a baby, like, how's it going? Because there's so many different things that could be going on. And I think it's like, that's kind of how I would see it.
Do you get that from your parents? They've
stopped asking. I went through phases of telling them tidbits of things. I remember telling my mum quite a lot about the he who shall not be named situation. Like, then it got to the point with that situation, I had too many opinions and I didn't listen to any of them when I should have done. And
well,
then
that's the truth.
Yeah. and then I remember telling them about another day that I'd gone on that I thought was like, went really well. We had like loads in common, which like you say, was like a complete night and day with the previous. And I remember telling them because I thought that they'd be really interested in it, which they were. Unfortunately, like, he moved away, so that never really went anywhere. But I remember telling them because I was like, they'll like this. So I would tell them little tidbits at a time when I was dating. And then there's obviously been like this period where I haven't been dating and they've kind of stopped prying. Mm. My mum did ask me over my birthday and I just was like, nothing's going on. And I sort of compared myself to my friends and was like, you're either in the single camp or you're settled down. And I could name a few friends who were in the single camp. My mum was just like, okay. I think because she could either probably tell I didn't want to talk about it, but also when you do, I think I'm lucky that I still do have single friends. Like, I know a couple of girls that are not even as old as I am, maybe like 27, and all of their friends are settled down. And I think that's more difficult than where I am, where I do have quite a lot of single friends, some that are older.
Yeah, that's something that like I at least really take for granted is like the spending time with someone. Like that is what's tricky, right? Like I imagine it could be at times like lonely, right? I mean, Chris works away every weekend and even like I feel like I'm single every weekend. Woo-hoo, not like that. Like obviously I can't go out and live the single life. But it's like it's difficult sometimes to fill your time. And when I think back to when I was single before him, I literally used to see my day in like three parts. I'd be like, what am I going to do in the morning? I'd be like, oh, I'll probably go for brunch with this person.
Yeah.
And have lunch with this person. And everyone was more available. And then slowly people start like trickling off. I mean, not many of my friends have kids yet, but that's something I'm definitely fearful of when babies start popping up. I'm like, oh.
So I'm actually kind of the opposite of that, is that I like being by myself.
Mm.
But I think that's probably just because I've been by myself. So actually it would be more of a shift for me to now let someone in, because I would have to really change up what I know. And so I actually don't mind the being by myself. The only time it like kind of affects me is maybe of like a late evening on an early afternoon on a Sunday when you're like by yourself. Maybe I've had a really like fulfilling Friday and Saturday, and then Sunday I just love doing chores. So maybe I've just been in my flat all day by myself and you're sort of thinking, oh, this is it. Or things like New Year, when actually like couples go off and do their own thing, or like a couple of my single friends are away. So I think there's only like two of us around over New Year. And it's kind of like, I don't love New Year anyway, but you don't want to be by yourself for it.
Yeah.
And it's like that, those sort of big milestone-y days where people are with their partners, that's when you feel it a bit more. Or actually the thing I was thinking about the other day was, might get upset at this. My mum was ill like a couple of years ago and I saw how my sister's husband was with her. And I remember thinking like, I'm on my own and I didn't have anybody to like give you a hug in the evening or whatever when she was ill. And like, he would just drop everything to like look after my sister. And that's like when it gets me, obviously.
Yeah.
It's like not having someone to like look after you in those like difficult times.
Yeah.
And I remember reaching out to He Who Should Not Be Named because I was like, I need someone to like rely on.
Mm.
And obviously you have your friends, but I do think it's like a different situation with like a partner, isn't it? Because they're just with you.
Yeah.
They're like my safety tissue.
Also, me having to fight not crying, I am the worst at like, if I see somebody else cry immediately, I'm like, oh.
It's the hangover, guys. I'm actually not emotional.
That's okay.
A nice queen.
I feel like you love to hide the emotions inside.
Yeah.
It took many years for me to see some emotions from you outside.
But I actually think that that's like shifted in me as I've got older. Like, I think I'm way more, I think my family would say I'm always emotional, but I think for like other people, I went through a period of being like a massive ice queen, whereas now I'm just like anything sets me off.
Which is probably a good thing.
Yeah, maybe.
I personally feel sometimes that women have such an ability to like keep evolving and we are just like these ever evolving kind of beings that are always pushing ourselves, maybe because of like all the pressure that you have stacked on your back, but it's like you always want to be a better version of yourself.
Yeah.
So do you ever feel like actually then you meet these guys and you're like, oh, the growth isn't there on their side?
I think it depends who you meet. Like you can, you know, meet people who are always pushing themselves and doing things, and you just need to meet those like minded people. I think that's because you and I are both like those ambitious, determined people, which is why, you know, you found Chris and that works really well because he's the same. I think, you know, you can meet people who just don't have that same drive. You've just got to like sift through everyone else to get there. And that's like, it's a full-time job, and that's why it's, you know, tiring. I'd rather try and go out and meet people in real life. Did I tell you about the singles event I went to recently?
No,
but oh my god, I went to a singles event with three other of the single girlies, and it was like a music event. So we were like, even if it's rubbish, we can have a nice girls' night, we can go and watch some live music, we can have a good time. We turned up and I would say there was maybe 60 girlies to 10 men.
No.
I would say four of them were, and there's nothing wrong with going to these things by yourself. Like, I think if you don't have anyone, like we were saying, if you don't have any single pals, like definitely put yourself out there and go to these types of events because it is like better than being on an app, in my opinion. It has potential. But there was like four guys just like on their own who were sort of standing dotted around the corner. And I would say the other six, and we love a short king. He or Should Not Be Named was a short king.
Yeah.
But they were all maybe below 5'6". And I'm, as we said, a tall hun.
Yeah.
And it was a disaster to the point where my friend actually complained. She was like, you should have put more into the ratio. You should have thought about this. And then the music was bad. Like the whole, we ended up just going out in like bar and having a few drinks. But
no short kings in tow?
No short kings in tow, not this time.
But did they clean up? Like
they were putting themselves out there. Like, fair play to them. They were going and speaking to the girlies, but
I've heard they now each have a harem.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
Five girls for one guy.
Tall women.
Yeah.
I missed out on that. Women. Shame. Okay, so I have two things.
Okay.
I don't want to turn the thumb screws here. However, I just have to understand, because on one side you're like, you've got to be sifting through them on the apps, you've got to be going to the events, but you're like, I'm not meeting the boys.
Yeah.
Where are you at in terms of, you said, you know, you'd like to meet someone, we want a little companion. What's next for Louise?
In dating, I think all I can see is me just still doing this in 10 years time, like still swiping, still trying to find someone. I am a big believer of like things will fall into place, but you kind of lose the faith with that happening. And like right now, because like I have had a good weekend, I've been with lots of pals who are both like single and in relationships, you know, went on like quite a fun date earlier in the week. I'm probably more in like the good space with it. And I can see things could fall into place.
Yeah.
But again, if you got me on a day where I'd been ruminating about it and I'd been like thinking about past relationships or whatever, then I would be a completely different mindset on it, and I would just be like, I just can't see it happening.
I imagine over your time you've had some good advice with this topic and some bad advice. Maybe someone's come from me, maybe it hasn't, but
you've just set me up on like dates.
I'm a very good matchmaker, thank you. I've actually got a terrible streak. I always match people and they'll date for like 6 months and then they break up and neither of them speak to me again. So that's really why.
I think you set me up and I had two dates. okay. with that person.
That's okay.
And then I think I ghosted, which is not what you should do, but I was 26.
Well, I mean, guys do it all the time, yeah. So fuck it, who cares? Have you got any best or worst advice that you've been given in navigating these treacherous waters?
I actually just hate all advice on it. You can't really give people advice in relationships or dating because you only hear select bits of what is going on. So like you could have a really shit day with Chris and you come, like, not that you do because he's an angel, but you could come to me and just like completely bitch about how he's been to you and all of this stuff. And my takeaway from that would be like, oh, Chris isn't a very nice person. Mm. Whereas like, because you are so glowing of Chris, obviously, but like, my view of your relationship is that you're having a really good relationship. So, but again, no one knows what's going on behind closed doors. So I feel like you can't actually comment on other people's like relationship or dating. Mm. And I think for me, like people could say to me, you know, you need to be going out more. You need to be getting on more like apps and doing all of this stuff. But I do put myself out there. I go to these single events, like my gym, there's like single boys joining all the time, you know, joined a new job in January. Like you never know what, you know, I am putting myself out there and I don't just live like the same. I love a routine, but I don't just live the same day every day. So why would I go on dates where someone isn't really putting an effort or, you know, you get a, hey, how are you? Yeah, good. How are you? And that's kind of it. I'm not, the next thing isn't going to be, let's go for a drink.
Yeah.
So why would I do that?
Are you a girly who likes to chat for time before you go for a drink or are you straight off the bat, let's do it?
Depends how fun you are. I think if the chat's there and you're like good vibes and I can tell you're good vibes, then I would go on a date with you. If it's like forced conversation, then I don't want to do that.
But no, literally nobody wants to do
that. But this is what you get. I would say you have to wade through the people and then when you get a match, it's like trying to get them to talk and then, like I say, my friend, that's where like a lot of people for some reason just drop off. Mm. And then if you get through to that stage, you're then trying to arrange a date with someone that you've never met before and you're kind of putting yourself out there and you're like forcing yourself to leave the house.
100%. You're giving up a precious day.
Yeah, exactly. Like if I look at my diary, I'm kind of like overwhelmed with things I've got going on in the next few weeks of like, even this weekend, I was busy Thursday, Friday, Saturday and today.
Yeah.
So how do you then fit someone new in that and for them to take priority of someone you actually really want to see?
Yeah.
And so I think, and that also becomes more difficult the older you get because you've got more friends in different places, so you're spread thinner.
Popular girl.
Oh my God, so popular.
Popular girl.
Not with the boys.
So I asked some questions to the listeners, aka followers.
All right.
For their thoughts, feelings, vibes around being single.
Can't wait.
In the weird years and how it's affecting them. Okay, so this is an anonymous submission and she's 34.
Okay.
So she said, I had to leave a deeply significant relationship just before my birthday, in fact. I had to forcefully walk away from the, albeit rocky, promise of a life companion, wedding, romantic stability. However, I had to do it because what I was in was toxic, damaging and unhealthy. I actually thought less about my age and more about my heart. I don't know if it was harder to leave because I was older or maybe it would have been even harder if I was younger and less experienced. Thoughts, feels?
I don't know. I think it's one of those things where no matter how much or how difficult a relationship or a situationship is, but I would never regret something that has happened because I think that it helps you decide either what you don't want in somebody or kind of shapes you into
where, like regret having the relationship in the first place.
Yeah. Or shape you where you are now. So I think like the age point I get because of like everything else that we've spoken about and kind of you know, getting older and women having like a body clock if you want kids or whatever. But I just don't think that should come into it. I think, you know, learn from it or kind of accept what it is, which is always hard. Kind of every feeling that you have is valid and kind of working through that is more important than kind of living in regret over it, I guess.
Yeah. Let's say you settle because you're thinking the clock's ticking or because this is what society thinks you should do. And then you end up in a relationship that you're just like not happy in. And that's fine. Of course, you can always like leave a relationship. But if you do then take the steps of like having kids or something, obviously you're tied to that person forever.
Yeah. And it goes back, I can't remember who I was saying this to. I might have even said it to you. But that thing of like, I'm 33. Mm. I would like to live until, you know, I'm old. So I've got at least, what, another 50 years, hopefully. That's quite ambitious.
What's that, 83?
Yeah.
I think that's all right.
Maybe another 50 years. So I've got like nearly double my life again. So you would want that's to be spending so it with someone who you feel comfortable growing old with. And I feel like if you're already acknowledging that it was a toxic situation, are you going to want to be in that for another 50 years? And the answer, if you're like realistic about it, is no.
If you're not happy, get out, girl. This one we don't know, male, female, age. It says, a single vibe is missing a morning text message, wanting to collapse into a hug and for someone to tell you it'll all be okay, but that you still push on without that.
And this is what we were talking about of, you know, when my mum got ill mm-hmm. and my sister had her husband and they were, you know, very, very kind to me and came and stayed at mine and all of that stuff. But there's like moments when they were together and I just was like on my own getting upset about it. And that it's like those moments for me where I don't really know what it is that you crave, because I obviously have a really strong group of friends and like friends in lots of different places, that if I felt like I was burdening one group of friends by talking about the same thing, I could just do it with someone else. So I don't ever feel like I don't have anyone to talk to, which is, you know, I feel very lucky about. But there's something that you get from a different kind of relationship. And I think for me, that's why I've already gone into like negative bad habits of like messaging people who I probably shouldn't.
Right.
Kind of like craving that, I guess, support. Mm. And they don't give it to you because you're not their priority anymore, which is completely fine. But there's something about a different type of relationship that gives you something else. Like I've never been able to explain what it is, because there's no reason why you can't get that same comfort from a friend.
Yeah.
But I know exactly what this person is saying. Like there is something missing about that.
It feels like maybe the unconditionalness of it. Every love has conditions. Like yeah. I'm not gonna love my husband if he goes out and cheats on me. Like that's yeah. a condition of the love. But a partner kind of rides through the good and the bad times more than a friend. Yeah. Like for a friend, maybe it feels more like a choice and like a it's less expected.
Yeah. The thing that I do think about sometimes is just those stupid things where like you're in the supermarket and you see something and you're like, that's like someone you want to message about it. And again, like, yeah, your friends will like laugh about it, but sometimes they'd all be doing their own thing, or like you'll know yeah. where they are and you'll know they're busy and they won't respond to it. And it's like, that was what I used to get out of like previous like, relationships or situationships I was in. It was like that kind of constant narrative between you both. Yeah. And then like your private jokes on things. But it would just be like really mundane stuff that you just want to talk to someone about.
I'm realizing now I think I'm some of my friends' boyfriends.
Yeah.
Like I am their boyfriend.
Yeah.
Because some of my friends will fucking stream of consciousness to me. And it's so funny because I'll be like, yeah, naming no names, but sometimes you. But it'll be like, oh, the price has changed. Oh, I can't get this yogurt that I really liked anymore. It's fucking annoying. And like someone will text that to me and I'm like, why are you texting that to me? And then—
But you would do that to Chris.
I 100% do it to Chris.
Yeah.
Literally, he gets a narrative of like, this every parcel shop was closed and now I've got to walk 20 minutes the other way to the other one. He's like,
yeah,
this is not interesting information for me.
Well, that's because that's Chris all over. Like, you even sounded like him. But I just—
Like, this is not entertaining for me. Why are you telling yeah. me this? I cannot change it.
Whereas other people, I don't know, he would never tell you to stop doing that.
And he has before, let me tell you.
But you still will. And there's a reason you don't do it to your friends.
Yeah.
But again, like, there's no like explanation for that. And, you know, I feel like friends will accept it like you do. Whether that's me or anyone else kind of messaging your, like our stream of consciousness, they will yeah. always respond, but it will be in a different way.
Yeah. I also, to be fair, do love being distracted. So I actually am quite happy. Yeah. Like there are some friends that just talk to me all day and I'm like, this is fine. I don't mind. We have one here and we do actually know he is a
male. Also, sorry, just if that one was a boy, that does like, I don't know, it's nice because the situations I've been in haven't always like done that, as in like haven't always sent a good morning message or whatever. So mm-hmm. I'm kind of hoping that is a boy and that those nice ones exist.
Well, if there's a listener out there who wants to take Louise on a, you want to take Louise on a date, drop me an email.
I'm hoping you're going to get loads of those after this, to be honest.
I'll put some paid ads behind
hopefully
it.
I'm not giving off desperate single vibes. And
no, not at all. So this one is a man specimen. Thank you for listening. Didn't know there was any of you out there. And he's 36 and he says, it's pretty grim out there. When you eventually realise that the life you wanted isn't the life you're going to get and you can't see a way out of it, it's not easy.
Yeah, hard relate. I look at, and again, it goes back to like comparisons, the thief of joy. I do look around at other couples who have that stable support and that network. And that's, I've like always wanted that. I've just never been vocal about it. Mm. And it does feel like that sort of slips away, or not even slips away. It's just the way to get there, or the route to get there, I don't want to do, which is go on dating apps.
Yeah.
Like, go on all of these like shit dates. I mean, they might not be shit, but in my head, they're always going to be shit. Have the same conversation with everybody again. Like, what job do you do? How's your week been? All of that really mundane stuff. And learn about someone, like, it should be interesting, but learning about someone from the beginning, when you are talking about that mundane stuff, when yeah. you've had previously, you know, the deeper connection, and it's more for me is that hurdle that I don't want to do, but you're going to have to do it to get to where you want to be, which I think makes it feel A, further away, but like B, more difficult.
That's what's interesting in what he says, is that he says, and you can't see a way out of it. It's not easy, because with most things in life, when you want something, there's a way to like work at it. But for some reason, dating, it's like, it's so, there's so much luck involved. Like, there's so much luck. I literally would have never have met Chris in the real world, because he was a little basement dwelling pale boy who'd never seen the sun.
And that's me now.
That's you now. No, you do so many things. But it's like you say, you know, it's not like you shut yourself off completely. You go to like that event that you went to, you go to your sports stuff, like you're out there in the world.
Yeah.
But you're still playing a numbers game ultimately. Yeah.
And I think the hardest part about it for me is everyone will say nice things and they'll be like, oh, but you're such a catch and you're this and you're that. Mm. But because like I've only ever had situationships, I've never really had like a serious long-term like formal relationship, because I've never had that at 33 years, what makes me think that I'm going to get it in the next 33 years? Do you know what I mean? Like, I guess I am changing, but I'm not necessarily a different person, or I don't know, it kind of, if you haven't had it, what makes you believe that you're going to get it? So I kind of get the where they're coming from on that point.
Also, maybe a little bit, I think situationships are the death of happiness.
Yeah.
I mean, you fucking strung yours out.
Yeah.
Beyond. Sometimes we wouldn't have got into it for like 6 months because we'd have been talking about other stuff. And then you'd slip in, I'd go, sorry. Can we just check in that we're talking about the same short king, who's actually not a king? He's a short, what's the opposite of a king? A peasant.
Yeah.
Same
yeah.
short peasant. And I couldn't believe it. I thought we donked him on the head dead
no
and
one
buried.
Can. I can't. I was actually talking to my friend about it today because she broke up with her boyfriend a couple of months ago, and he like every few weeks will like drop her a message or whatever. And like that was the same for me, and he should not be named, but like the other way around, as in like
you
I would drop a message. I think for me that the start of that was so intense and like love bomb me basically that I like really fell hard. And actually that's a lie. In the beginning I didn't, because I just didn't think anything was going to come from it. I then really fell hard, and then when it started to fall away, I couldn't understand why. And I just thought to myself, like, I'd been there through quite a lot, and I thought, you know, I've been your best friend as well as like whatever else is happening.
Yeah.
And I couldn't understand why that like he was then pulling away, I guess. And then I spent so long trying to
reel him back in
and like try to understand what went wrong or what I'd done wrong. And I think that you never get that answer. So, you know, I don't necessarily think I was looking for closure, but I just wanted whatever that answer was, and I never got it. And I think in part you never will, in part he was just always a bad communicator, so would never have said honestly how he was feeling. But I think that's why I kept going back.
People aren't that honest about how long those feelings can linger. Like, I honestly, that horrendous man who I dated from advertising, as we all call him, I think people don't maybe talk about that, and maybe there's a little bit of shame of like, as I said, because we're like, fucking hell, are you still dabbling in that pond? But it's hard to let go sometimes.
I think for me as well, what I struggle with is, again, it goes back to like people's perceptions of you and like your relationships or whatever. And everyone would always tell me I was better than him, I could do better than him, that he didn't deserve the ground I walked on, all of this stuff, which like to be honest, the way he treated me, true.
Yeah.
But what I like can't get over since that, and like since, you know, we would go back to each other or whatever, he dated other people, he's like now got a girlfriend, and I'll be like, ow. Like, babe, but not, obviously I, you know, loved him and all of this stuff, so like I get it from the new girl's perspective or whatever, but it's more like, why don't I? If everyone's telling me how great I am, if everyone's telling me how shit he is, but he's managed to find someone else and I still haven't. And I think that when I look at it now, that's what I probably struggle with most, is that he's where I would want to be and I'm still here.
Yeah. I mean, you never know what's going on behind closed doors is one thing. But also, sometimes I do think that women who like are very impressive can be.
Thank you.
No, you are impressive. I mean, you have an amazing career. You have bought a flat.
Oh my God, keep going.
You might not have massive boobs, but you have a fantastic bum. And actually, you're very small, not very small. You're very perky, but small boobs.
Thank you.
So, you're, you know, you're great. And I do think sometimes that that can be, it can almost make it harder sometimes.
Oh, that reminds me. I was in the supermarket on Sunday, and this, like, I want to say 40, 50-year-old man stopped me. I was
probably one of my exes.
He's really hungover. And he just goes to me, oh, you're tall, aren't you? And I was like, bear with me. There is like a, it does relate. I was like, yeah, I am. And then he was like, how tall are you? And I was like, I'm probably like 6 foot. And I would say, like, depends who I'm talking to as to whether I say 5'11" or 6 foot. And I thought, I'll say 6 foot, I'll end the conversation. And then he was like, oh, that's a bit intimidating, isn't it? And I thought, sorry, the like audacity of this like old man to stop me in a supermarket and tell me I was intimidating. But I've been told that before, because I'll go on a day and I'll be like quite confident, like not to be big headed, but I would say 99% of the time I'll be asked out on a second day.
Yeah.
And then it'll probably be the second or third day when it goes a bit downhill. but I think that there is an element of like, I am intimidating because like maybe of the things you listed, or maybe like I'm a bit confident, or I don't know.
Well, I wonder. So I think there's one thing of people, a lot of men don't like being emasculated. Men can be emasculated by height or by success.
Yeah.
If you earn more money than them, that's like, that is a reality of the male species. But I think this guy might have had a kink.
I messaged my family chat, and my dad was like, I think he fancied you. And I was
I think that's like, oh, that's very intimidating.
Yeah.
I like being intimidated.
Being tall, I think, is
old men's. Do you
want to
stamp on my balls? I think that's where it could have gone if you'd gone with that.
Oh, God. Luckily, I didn't.
You could have made some money.
I was too hungover to really pay much attention, to be honest. So
fair. Okay, so one thing we like to do at the end of this podcast is have a little bit of reflection time. So knowing what you know now, what's one thing you'd tell yourself 10 years ago?
To not care. Literally, like, not care what other people's opinions are.
Mm.
And maybe say yes more. I think I do put myself out there more than I would have done. I think if you asked me at 25, I thought I was putting myself out there. But yeah, to really, like, just say yes to everything and not care what anyone says.
That would be good advice. Also, isn't it crazy how so many of these things you really do have to think about at quite a young age?
Yeah.
Like at 25 or whatever, having to be like, oh, okay, now I need to go out and meet somebody or whatever if I want the future. I mean, obviously, if I was planning to get married at 26 and have babies at 28, then it would be even younger. But it's like, actually, these things creep up so quickly and you're not even like a fully formed, you don't even know who you are at that point.
But this is the other thing about apps, right? Is I think apps came out when I was in my last year of uni. So, and I didn't really like, I was like a late bloomer, like didn't really date around at school again because I was like so focused on like doing well in like academics and sport and everything else. I did every hobby going, except for snogging boys and that came later. So I think you, but then when the apps came out, all of a sudden everyone's choice opens up. Whereas like before apps, you would find someone in work or you would find, and like you wouldn't necessarily settle, but your options were less. Whereas now, again, it goes back to the point of like having high expectations or high standards. It's because there's so much choice. And then like, this is the thing, what will make me decide to settle down with someone? Like, how do I know that that's the person when actually I could go out and be on the apps again tomorrow and have thousands of people that I could just swipe through. And if I was of that mindset, I could meet up with them all.
Yeah. Especially as you get older. And like you say, like when you pair that with having
like more care for your time,
yeah,
then it also like kind of compounds it, doesn't it? Because yeah, it's like, well, you've got more to lose.
Yeah. It is. I think that's the difficult thing is I'm like, when I was 25 and like going out on apps and things, it was fun. Mm. And I wanted to come back with a story and I wanted to go out and like drink a couple of bottles of wine on a weeknight and I could still go into work and feel fresh. Whereas now I'm like two glasses of wine, I'm hungover.
R.I.P.
But now I want to do that less and I'm not bothered about the stories. Like obviously if I get one, I'm going to tell people and it's funny, but it's less of a priority.
You're not doing it for the plot.
Yeah, I'm not doing it for the plot and it's less fun than it used to be because I've been on and off them for however long.
Yeah.
It's lost its like charm.
That's fair, but please do bring any goss back if possible. What's one thing that you wish for Louise in 10 years?
10 years. So I had someone ask me this recently and I was on my Eat, Slay, Love holiday to Bali where I was trying to find myself and climbed up this mountain at like 2 a.m., got heat exhaustion, it was awful. But there was a guy there who was interviewing people as you went, which is exactly what you want to do at the top of a mountain.
No, sorry, that's an outrageous thing to do to someone. Yeah. At 2 a.m. when I climbed a fucking mountain,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, with no makeup on, like zero sleep. And he asked me this question. And the first thing that popped into my head was, I want to be rich. And then I was like, I can't say that. It needs to be more deep and meaningful, which again is me like hiding my emotions, right? Like I wanted to say that because I wanted the laugh and I didn't want it to be a serious thing.
Mm.
Whereas like in 10 years time, I would want to have like my own little family and, you know, be settled down and have that lifestyle. But yeah, I don't tend to say it because I don't know. I've had 33 years of not having that. So what makes me think that's going to happen in the next 10? I think the only difference is I'm probably more conscious. It's more of like an actual goal, whereas before it wasn't.
Which probably is a good thing.
Yeah.
Be like, if you want something, you have to put it at least at the front of your mind to a degree.
Yeah.
But obviously it's so up and down of like exhaustion that comes with, that's why everyone oscillates between being on the apps, off the apps, right? Yeah. It's because it's like fucking exhausting.
Yeah. And I think it is a bit of, you know, if you're lucky enough to find someone, I think some of it is luck. I think some of it's putting yourself out there. Some of it is being open, which I don't think I was personally for most of my 20s. I think I was pretty closed. So I think there's a few factors to it.
Yeah.
Maybe, and now that I'm a bit more open, hopefully I'll just be a bit more lucky.
Amen to that. Make yourself lucky. Okay, so we're going to go into a segment, which is called Yes or Mess.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you 5 rapid fire questions. You have to answer with yes or mess. You can expand if you really want to.
Okay, I probably will.
We know you like to yap. Friends and relationships trying to set you up.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't mind that as long as they're a similar person.
Like that. Dating a man less financially successful than you.
Yes.
Hmm. Dating apps.
I mean, it has to be a yes because like that's that's the only place I'm going to find someone, isn't it? So like it's a mess, but I have to say yes.
I feel like everyone's in a toxic relationship with dating apps.
Yeah, everyone hates them.
Talking about having kids on a first date.
Yes. Again, depends who it is. Like the date I went on, I wouldn't have done that because it wasn't like, we weren't having deep conversation. It was nice conversation, but it wasn't deep conversation. If it was someone who was like into that kind of conversation, then I would be open to it.
Nice. And your last one, comparing your journeys to others.
Mess. Like, and again, I think I used to do this, but I think everyone's on their own little path. It is hard not to though, especially if I look at my single friends who like are getting into serious relationships, it's hard not to compare yourself and think, God, I'm going to be the last one left. But you just need to remember everyone's in their own lane.
It's a mess and no one needs this.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Lovely. Well, thank you for coming on the pod.
Thanks.
I've loved having you.
God, it's been emotional. I knew it would.
Great for the views.
Great for the views.
We love to shed a tear here.
Yeah.
You know, what's wrong with a little cry? I mean, it's the weirdest for a reason because it's such a fucking mess and a whirlwind of emotions.
Yeah.
So no one's doing it well, let's be honest. Well, for anyone who is listening or watching, if you are relating hard to what we talked about today, or you've got your own take on the weird years, we definitely want to hear it. So slide into our DMs and drop us a message on Instagram. Our @ is The Weird Years Podcast, and we will be sharing some stories if we get some juicy little nuggets or some hot takes or really anything, to be honest, at this point. We just love to yap. So send them over and we will definitely be sharing some of them in the next episode.
And thank you all for listening. Until next time, keep your head on. We're in this together.